many of these artifacts were left to us in the form of, it's called a cylinder seal, or the imprint of a cylinder seal. Many times the Sumerians, which we still are baffled as to how they did this, would take about a quarter to a half inch thick stone and would carve a reverse imprint in it, if you will, like a stamp, a pictogram, a whole series of pictograms,
mm-hmm.
would reverse carve the imprint into this round circular thing called a cylinder seal, so that when you would roll your hand with the cylinder seal over wet clay, it would leave the positive imprint. Scholars today are still baffled as to how they were able to reverse carve these imprints with such precision, but that was how many of the a lot of the information from the Sumerians was passed out amongst their people.
Are the
kind of like a printing press.
Okay. Are the cylinders made out of clay?
The cylinders are made out of, a wet clay, which they would then roll this cylinder seal over, leaving the imprint, and then they would fire the clay in a kiln, literally keying the term writing in stone.
Remarkable intelligence.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so we have thousands of these cylinder seals and tablets with cuneiform script. Again, they're writing, the one that consists of over 400 characters. First language right out of the Stone Age, and it consists of 400 characters, cuneiform script. So they had all these detailed explanations, as well as pictograms to go along with their information. And real quickly, George, just so people understand, because I get a kick out of this, when I was doing some research into the history of writing, many times we'll be driving down the highway, and we'll see a little blue sign that shows a fork, a gas station, and a guy on a bed, if you will, a symbolic reference that there's probably a rest area coming up where you can maybe have some lodging and get some gas.
Sure.
Now, these are the same type of ideas as far as the pictograms used by the Sumerians, where they would use certain key symbols that would represent a whole bunch of information. And one of the overriding symbols that is seen is not only the symbols for our planets, but the main symbol is this planet Nibiru, where they would symbolize it as a winged disc. And several times, recorded in stone, mind you, unchanged, we see these beings of what resemble angels. Depictions of human-looking men and women
mm-hmm.
that have wings, or it looks as if what the Sumerians are trying to tell us, they had the power of flight. And these predate the English version of angels by 4,000 years. And these are what we call the Anunnaki, those beings who came from heaven to earth.
Do you believe the Anunnaki came here from planet X as planet X was close by, or was it way out where it might be now?
Well, that's a good point, George. The Anunnaki explained to the Sumerians, or they had documented this, and there were actually tablets, cylinder seals, reverse carved imprints, again, leaving the impression that showed, for instance, this one scene. These Sumerians are plowing the dirt, and in the sky there's this glowing cross. And so it was their way of saying that even during daylight time, at some point within the Sumerian epoch, they were able to see this passing planet Nibiru.
How do we know it wasn't some huge spacecraft up there they were looking at?
We don't. We only have the information as translated, but what's bequeathed to us is that the symbolic reference of the cross was for Nibiru. And so they had several depictions and stories that explained that they knew that when this glowing cross in the sky, if you will, was present, that it was a time of great catastrophes on Earth, which we'll discuss in a moment. But to answer your question, the Anunnaki explained that and knew very well that when this their planet passed by, it was not an ideal time to have interactions with us, because there were possible catastrophic events or floods, if you will. So they were very specific in telling us that the times the Anunnaki visited us do not coincide with the planet passing, this planet Nibiru passing us.
Do not coincide.
Do not coincide. And I should point out that my whole interest in this information, and even in 3 hours, George, I don't even know that we'd be able to hit all the finer points, but my interest in this information is not to authenticate this planet X or in Nibiru, but to more authenticate the Anunnaki. Because if these beings do exist, then these literally are our ancestors, and it would be very intriguing to actually meet beings, and I think man probably is ready, man, if you will, is ready to meet man from somewhere out there. So it's very intriguing that we can now use a scientific approach and merge the fields of religion and science to say, my gosh, where do we come from, and what are our origins? Where do we really come from?
Do the texts, Jason, we saw the Fuhrer when Mars got within less than 35 million miles from us. How close do you think Nibiru got to us?
Well, let's back up and talk about the story that they tell us as far as the epic of creation. They say that initially, when our solar system had just finished coalescing and there was this primitive planet they called then Tiamat, before it was our Earth, this planet Nibiru was pulled in, and we estimate the solar system scientifically to be around 4.7 billion years old. So we're talking about a long time ago when this initial collision took place.
Sure.
This intruding planet, Planet X, if you will, Nibiru, as told by the Sumerians, was pulled in by the outer planets gravitationally and came into an orbit where it didn't strike our primitive Earth, but the moons of this planet Nibiru whacked our Earth in such a way to make it almost into a half a planet, where on the next passing around, it then physically, Planet X, hit our primitive Earth, and that's what, as the Sumerians describe, created the hammered-out bracelet, our asteroid belt, and then this intruding planet, Nibiru, went on to have a very, very elongated orbit around our planet, around our sun, going around the sun once every 3,600 years. Now, here's another interesting point, George, is that we go around the sun, a solar year, for us, is 365 days.
Yeah, that's right.
For the beings, the Anunnaki on Nibiru, a solar year for them was 3,600 years.
Exactly. Almost 100, is it 100 times more? Yeah.
Right on the money. And interestingly enough, the Sumerians were the first ones to say that the circumference of a circle is 360 degrees. An interesting coincidence that this planet is 3,600 years. But more precise is the fact that the planet X, or the Nibiru, having a 3,600-year orbit, Anunnaki, living on this planet, 1 year for them is 3,600 years to us. So let's say, for instance, and this is part speculation, but let's just say such a famous figure as Jesus Christ, if I might go so far as to speculate, let's say he was an Anunnaki coming from this planet Nibiru. Now, he comes and says, you know, here are the teachings that we want to bequeath to you, and you must, you know, learn these and practice these, which are many of the things that were prognosticated by Jesus are told in a Sumerian epic. He comes, visits us, and then says, I will return. Let's say he comes back in 3,600 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's only been 1 year for Jesus if he was an Anunnaki, because, again, one solar year for Nibiru is 3,600 years to us, because their orbit is so much longer around the sun, but it's still only 1 year for them. So this explains a whole other aspect of how many of the visitations and things that took place in the Hebrew version with the Nephilim, and as well as the English version of the interaction with living gods, to explain their amazing longevity, and how that whole notion of if you go to heaven, you could live forever, because this planet Nibiru sustained a much longer lifespan.